WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Student Section Podcast back for another week. Adrian here, co-host Elliot here to talk some basketball and some football. How you doing this weekend, Elliot?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Let's just jump right into it. What do you think about the Sweet 16?
I think it's an interesting array of teams. You know, there's definitely some that I wasn't expecting to be going this far. My big one there is Princeton. I was not expecting them to play that well against that good of teams. But
Missouri, did you catch any of that Missouri-Princeton game?
Oh, I did. I watched the end of that. Ooh.
That was they ended up winning by 15. 78-63 is the final score, but the game wasn't close, like, at all. Like, it was never, like, competitive.
Which I thought that was a little bit strange. I thought at least, like, considering the disparity, like, in seeding, and then obviously I think Princeton doesn't have a scholarship player on their team right now.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't expect the game to be that out of hand. Like, it really felt like it just no contest Princeton was going to win.
Well, like, if you dive into the stats, Princeton out-rebounded them 44-30, and they doubled them in offensive rebounds, 16 offensive rebounds to 8 offensive rebounds. They had more free throws than them. They had more threes than them, and they shot a better percentage from the field while shooting an extra shot. So, I mean, the stats show just how much they dominated, but it's still wild given the fact, you know, I want to say his name's Kobe Brown, number 24 from Missouri. He was first team all SEC. Obviously, like you said, they don't have any scholarship players, and it's like, it's Princeton. You know what I mean? Like, they go to school to go to school, not to play basketball. So, that's very surprising, but they're a good team. I think they lose this next game, though.
Really? So, I actually think they have a shot to win.
Against Creighton?
I do. So, like, when you look at their team stats, so Princeton averages about, like, 75.5 points a game.
Yeah.
Creighton's about 76.7. But Princeton only allows 59. Creighton allows nearly 70. So, I think if the defense is a big factor in this game, I think Princeton might actually edge it out.
Dude, I'm kind of nervous. I kind of want Princeton to win because if Alabama matches up with Creighton, I think Creighton might be – dude, Creighton, like, their starting lineup, they might have the best starting lineup in the nation. Not the whole team. Like, their bench kind of drops off a good bit, but, like, their starting lineup is solid.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm concerned, and we can kind of move into our own home team here with Alabama. I'm a little concerned about San Diego State.
Really?
I am. They're just a very physical team, you know? And then sometimes, like, I just know that our team gets in these grooves where they get off to, like, a really slow start.
Right.
And if they don't show up with that physicality from the get-go, I think it'd be a really, really rough day.
Yeah. One thing I will say about San Diego State, a lot of their players are veterans. And they're tough on defense. Like you said, they're very physical. I looked into a couple of things before I came in. I saw that – I can't name them, but they have two different guys on their team that won Defensive Player of the Year awards from, you know, like different things. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that they've had a fairly easy route. I watched that – actually watched both games they played. They played College of Charleston that first game. They won by 6. One of the worst tournament games as far as, like – pure basketball standpoint. Like, it was competitive, but, like, it seemed like both teams were trying to lose.
I think I could say the same about the Pitt-Iowa State game.
Jared Wayne wasn't attendance.
Jared Wayne was not able to help him out there. But, hey, they won that first round, so it's okay.
Any of those not familiar, Jared Wayne is a famous Pittsburgh receiver Elliot's so hyped about in the NFL drafts. We're going to get to the draft later. But, yeah, like I said, that first game and the first round – it was bad. Like, they, you know, if they would have played in any other team, I feel like they would have lost. And then, obviously, that second game, they played Furman beat the 4 seed in Virginia, Virginia was obviously overrated to come into the tournament.
Well, they always are, okay? We've known this, but
every year.
I wasn't expecting them. I had them losing second round. I wasn't expecting them to just throw away, like, the game at the end like that.
Right. Literally just throw the ball.
Literally just throw the game away. This quite literally threw the game away.
Yeah, literally. Then they beat Furman by 23. They breezed through them. I guess Furman gave everything they had to win that Virginia game. I think it has potential to be a tough game. I don't think Bama loses, though.
I don't think they'll lose.
I'd be surprised if they lost.
But I think it'll be a lot closer than what people think.
Yeah, that's fair. Kind of going on to some of the other games, you know, obviously the game going on right now, Michigan State, K-State. I pick Michigan State. I'm a big fan of both teams. I really like K-State's player. You know, they got Johnson, who had the heart, you know, defect from Florida. He transferred over. Obviously, they got Noel, who's he's 5'8", but that dude's a dog. You know the point guard?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Dude, what's up with K-State and these short guys? I mean, you know, they had Deuce Vaughn, dog. Noel, dog. So, I don't know.
I don't know what they're doing over there in Manhattan, Kansas.
Dude, it's weird. The Little Apple. I didn't know that. Did you know it was a nickname?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That game's going on now. I think it's a tie game right now. Also happening today is the FAU-Tennessee game. What's some of your thoughts on that game?
You know, I thought FAU was doing a lot of showboating for being a 16 seed last round. But they're a good team. There's no denying that.
Dude, that – did you watch it at the end, what he did?
Yeah.
The dunk where he tries to, like, do the 360 windmill and, like, he missed and everybody's just like, dude, like, you're a clown.
Like, come on, man. Like, what's up with that? Do I think that they'll beat Tennessee? No.
I hope Tennessee wins by, like, 50.
I mean, I think they might give them a run for their money. Like, maybe, like, end of the first half, heading into the beginning of the second. But I think after that, I think Tennessee clears pretty easily.
I think Tennessee's really underrated. Because, you know, they lost their point guard in late February, and everybody's, like, kind of clinging on to this, like, notion that they're going to lose pretty, you know, early. They're in the Sweet 16 now, but, like, they were, like, a hot pick to be upset against Louisiana in the first round. Then a lot of people thought Duke had a much better team than them. And, I mean, funny enough, that was switched because Louisiana did almost beat them in the first round, but they ended up beating Duke by 13 in what was, you know, it was competitive throughout, but Tennessee – obviously better than that one. They've had a tough route getting where they're at. I think they'll have a better game than they did against Duke. I think they'll breeze through FAU.
I think so too.
You think it'll be like 15? I think they win by double digits.
I mean, I think it'll be double digits. And like I said, I think they'll pull away in that second half, but it may take them until like the 15-minute mark of the second half to really start putting like the hammer down.
Exactly. Kind of just moving along through these Sweet 16, some of the other games remaining over the next couple of days. Houston-Miami. Houston's a really intriguing team. A lot of people think Houston's the best team. Houston's pretty good.
They're good, but like whenever they're cold, man, they're cold. It's just going to depend on like what version of that Houston team shows up. Do I think they'll probably beat Miami? Yeah, but Miami is a pretty good team.
Yeah, Miami's one of those teams that, like, every season, like, fly under the radar. And if you remember back to last year, they beat Auburn when Auburn was a two-seed in tournament in the round of 32 by, like, 17 or 19. It wasn't a fairly close game at all. You know, obviously, they're back in the Sweet 16 this year. They made it last year. I think Miami might win, but I don't know. I don't know, is that more fandom? Because, in my opinion, obviously – us here riding with Bama, the Tide, to win the chip. Houston's the one team that I don't want Bama to play. They've already beat them once. You know, they played them in Houston that first time. It's kind of like the Alabama-Georgia thing. You know, hate to bring that up. But when you play a team when they're, you know, probably the best two teams in the nation, when y'all play twice, whoever won the first game is usually not going to win the second game.
Right.
That second game would also be another road game. Like I said, Alabama beat them one time earlier this year. But the Final Four and the championships in Houston.
So that's true. It'd be like a home game.
It'd be in their city, not like Alabama playing in Birmingham or Georgia, Atlanta. It'd be like in Houston. So I think that'd be really tough to beat them again. One thing I will say, though, is Miller didn't play well that first game. I don't think Miller scored a point from the field. Like he had 8 points, and they were all from like the charity stripe.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up.
Sasser's pretty good. The point guard there. Yeah, but moving down along the line, Arkansas is playing right now.
Well, let's not even comment on that one. I mean, is it really anything to say?
What's the score in that one? They're down like 20?
It is 46-29 at the half. You know, I never like to say that it's over before it's over, but
they're not coming back.
I just don't see a world in which you give up nearly 50 in the first half and you come back to win.
Unless you're Auburn.
Unless you're Auburn.
that game was terrible. Did you watch that?
I did.
They were up, what, 40 to 30?
Something like that.
Yeah. And then they gave up like 40. They gave up almost 50 in the second half. That one was bad. I want to talk about this game. Well, I'll say this one for last, the Gonzaga-UCLA, because I think that's probably going to be the best game.
Really? I think that the Xavier-Texas game might be the
best
one.
Well, that's last two we got to talk about. No, go ahead and give me why do you think so?
Now, so for me, like, Xavier, and I didn't really realize this until I watched them play, like, the second round game versus Pitt. These guys shoot at such a high percentage from everywhere. I mean, it felt like every 5 minutes they're saying Xavier has made 9 of their last 10 shots or something. They're efficient and they can just hit you where it hurts every single time. Like, there's that one guy at spark plug 3-point scorer, and then they have Nungi, their center.
Nungi's good.
He's incredible. He's really good. Ripping up the paint. And like, as good as Texas is, I thought I actually had Texas playing Alabama in my final. That was my national championship.
That's who I got. Not in none of my brackets, but like just like from the remaining teams, like I think Bama and Texas will.
That's what I had from the start. That's what I felt like. I thought Texas would wind up beating Houston at some point. But after I saw Xavier play, I legitimately think that Texas, like, they're going to have a rough time against this team, because if they can't stop them, if they can't put any defensive pressure on any of their players, because all of them have the capability of scoring at a high clip.
Right.
It's just going to be a really, really bad day.
Yeah. Xavier is one of those teams, which I guess is, you know, every team, but especially Xavier, like when they get hot, like they're really tough. Like if their team, it feels like their whole team will get hot. You know what I mean? Like not one player or two players, like everybody on the floor will be like he's not going to miss if he shoots. Funny story about Xavier. My uncle grew up in Birmingham. His best friend, Chad, his son plays for Xavier.
Really?
Yeah. His name is Kobe Jones, and he's averaging 15 points, almost 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. He's a small forward from Birmingham, Alabama, 6'6", 205, shooting 51% from the field, and he puts up a lot of threes too. So, you know, I'd like to see Xavier win, given that my uncle, you know, he grew up with his dad, and they're like best friends. So, like, he watched Kobe grow up playing basketball in Birmingham. He was a big 4-star recruit. So, I'd like to see him do good. I'll stick with Texas, though.
I mean, I'm going to stick with Texas solely for the purpose that I need some part of my bracket to still look okay.
Be respectable.
Just to be respectable, okay? Yeah. It was already shot from the start. I just needed to look okay in the end. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
It's about how you finish.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But speaking of, like, just, like, how you're talking about how, like, the whole team gets hot when one person gets hot, part of that is their crazy assists per game numbers.
Yeah.
It's nearly 20.
Per game?
Per game.
That's crazy.
19.3. I mean, think about that for a second.
So basically about 10 assists a half.
Yeah, that's insane.
Side note on 10 assists and a half. Marquise Noel, the guy we were talking about that's really good from K-State, the point guard, he had 10 assists in the first half against Michigan State this game.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Well, that game is, as I see right now, currently tied at 70.
Currently, State just scored 72-70 with 6 minutes under. Under 6 minutes.
Oh, look at that.
That will be a good finish.
Our lovely viewers, you're getting our live updates.
Live updates from the Sweet 16, New York City. Well, the last game to cover would be the Gonzaga-UCLA game, which I said I thought would be the most intriguing game. You know, obviously, both teams have experienced players in Drew Timmy, and you got Tiger Campbell on the other side. I can't remember call the forward's name. Is it Juzang, or did Juzang leave? They got another guy over there.
No, Juzang, I think, in the draft last year.
It's like a double J. Jaquez.
I think
Juan
Jaquez
Jr.
I think that's what it is.
Him and Tiger have been over there since that Final Four run a couple years ago. It feels like Timmy's been at Gonzaga forever. I just think that's going to be a really good matchup between two highly competitive teams that are both really well coached. Like, both of those teams, like, really well coached, both really deep. I think that'd be a great game. I don't really know who to pick, though. I think it's like a toss up.
I don't know who to pick either. And I think they're two very different, like, philosophy oriented teams. Like, I look at Gonzaga, very offensively based.
And UCLA is very defensive.
Yeah, so like when you look at points per game for Gonzaga, 87, and then points against 75. UCLA, they score 74, only allow 58. So it's like two completely different teams playing one another. So I would agree with you. I don't know who to pick. But I think that the 52.6% field goal percentage shooting by Gonzaga, I think that might edge out UCLA in the end.
Yeah. It's that game's going to come down. Like, I could see that landing on a buzzer beater. Don't you think so?
It could end in a Furman, Virginia-like fashion.
Somebody throw the game away. Before we go to break, let me get your thoughts on the Final Four. Who you think, makes out of Sweet 16, Elite Eight? Who do you think are the Final Four teams that end up playing in Houston? And then who do you think will eventually be crowned national champions?
Well, it would be an absolute sin to not say Alabama. Bama's going in. All the way, okay?
We both got that 25% of Final Four. Bama's in.
As I'm looking at the East right now, man, I think it's going to be the winner of the Kansas State-Michigan State game.
Me too.
Okay, so whoever that is, we still got another 5 or so minutes to go. We'll keep you live updates, like we said.
Okay.
When I look at the Midwest, just for my bracket's sake, I got to rock with Texas, but I think it will be the winner of the Xavier-Texas game.
So you think Houston gets put out in Elite Eight?
I think
whether they play Xavier or Texas.
I think Houston loses, in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. I was kind of on the bandwagon in the beginning of the tournament that they were overrated. Like, they struggled with that 16 seed. They won by 11, but the score, doesn't really tell the game. And then they struggled against Auburn, but that second half against Auburn was really impressive. And I just don't think that – I think they beat Miami. Miami's a good team. They beat Indiana, who I thought would beat them by 16. Like, I thought Indiana would win, and they beat them by 16. So right now you got Bama – State or give me State or K-State, or give me K-State or Michigan State.
Oh, man.
Hard to say?
It's too hard to say. I'll call it whenever there's like 2 seconds left.
Okay.
And then I'll make my prediction.
Okay, that's fair. And then Xavier, Texas winner, all right.
And then, man, I'm looking at the West here. As intriguing as the Gonzaga-UCLA game is, I'm looking at UConn now.
I'm looking at UConn, too.
I'm looking at UConn being that fourth one in there.
We're very similar. I'm going to roll with Bama. We both have Bama in the Final Four.
Oh, yeah. I got Bama winning it all.
I got Bama winning it all.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm going to roll with Bama. I think I'm going to go with my pick for the day. I think Michigan State ends up winning this game against K-State and then beats Tennessee in the Elite Eight. So I see a Bama-Michigan State Final Four matchup, which, Nate Oates, Tom Izzo, that'd be a really good matchup. Then, obviously, the Gonzaga-UCLA is a great game. Right now, UConn's kind of putting it on Arkansas, so I think next game they'll be a little more rested than whoever comes out of that UCLA Gonzaga game. And I think UConn's got a good team. I can't recall their center's name. He's an African guy. He's really, really, really good though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what his name is.
There's one game I think in the tournament. It might have been last game. He had like 24 points and like 18 rebounds. He's a lot like Oscar Tshiebwe as far as like his production with points and rebounds. He'll get you a 20 and 20 type of game. So I'm going to roll with them on that side. And then in the Midwest, I'm going to roll with Texas. So Texas versus UConn, and then Bama versus Michigan State will be my Final Four. And then I got Bama. I could see UConn or Texas winning, which I mean is Final Four, but I'll roll with Texas.
I'm rolling with the Bama-Texas final.
I'm rolling with the Bama-Texas.
But roll tide.
Big time. Yeah. I think Bama takes it home. I think they're going to win it this year.
I hope so.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to take a little break, come back, talk some NFL, and talk a little pro day for Bryce Young and Will Anderson.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Section podcast back here again to talk some football. We're going to talk some of the NFL, but first, before we do that, we're going to highlight Alabama's pro day. Obviously, we had a good bit of players playing, former players like Slade Bolden coming to run routes, Jermaine Burton running routes for Bryce Young. More on that later. Just dive into it. I guess we got to go with the big guys, Bryce Young and Will Anderson first. So, from the pro day, what'd you get from those guys?
I mean, to me, I didn't learn anything new.
Right.
I already knew this about them.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, the pro day is just a formality, especially at programs like, let's say, like a Georgia and Alabama, right? Those juggernaut football programs, right? Everyone right. already knows what these guys are made of. Same with Ohio State, for that matter, right? Everyone knows what these guys are made of. You know, we've seen it in the game. You've seen it on tape, right? Like, there's no reason to question it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've always been like under the notion that pro days and the combine have always been overrated. I mean, like, the combine is like really good for guys that like fly under the radar. It's kind of like speaking on what you're saying about like the guys from like Ohio State and like Bama and Georgia. Like, these guys are like known commodities. Most of these guys were 4 and 5 stars coming out of high school, and then, you know, they dominated the collegiate level in big time games and championships and playoff games. So I agree. Like last year, or I guess it was 2 years ago now, with Zach Wilson, when he had that that pro day throw that was, I mean, I will say one of the best, you know, throws.
Oh, for sure.
Great throw, but it's like, I was never high on him, which I guess is easy to say now, but I don't understand how a guy can, you know, go from not highly touted to he has a great pro day, and now he's like the second pick.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, right? And that's kind of like the formality thing. Like, the combine's cool. Like, you get to see all these players, right? And then do their thing, see their athleticism with certain drills and everything. But the pro day, especially for like a quarterback type thing, right?
Right.
Okay, he makes a really cool throw without any pads on, without any pass rush. There's like, you take the entire like game component out of what the player is doing, right? You're just seeing a quarterback make a really cool throw, and that shouldn't be the deciding factor.
No,
right?
It's like, who practices better?
Exactly. Yeah. You should see the decision making, you know, like how they actually perform in the games against their opponents and everything. Shouldn't have to come down to, oh, he made a cool crossbody throw that was like 60 yards. I think we should take him second overall.
That was the biggest overreaction ever. Like, I don't. To this day, understand how he just jumped Justin Fields, who was, you know, him and Lawrence were 1 and 2 in college. Well, they were 1 and 2 in high school, then 1 and 2 in college, and then as soon as the draft stuff came up, somehow they weren't 1 and 2 anymore. With that being said, you know, I want to add to that just one more thing. One of the bigger one of the bigger prospects in the draft, Will Levis, who I think – what do you think of Will Levis before I get my spiel?
Well – he's definitely not Josh Allen, okay?
He's not Josh Allen.
I'm not – I hate putting these labels on quarterbacks before they come in, because what if they just make a name for themselves, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be Patrick Mahomes. You don't have to be like Joe Montana, right? You can be your own guy and be just as good as you want to. So I don't like the fact that he's getting put in the Josh Allen mold already.
It's very unfair, like, to the players.
I think it's unfair. I think there's too high of a bar being placed on him right now.
Right.
And I think that he may not have a great rookie season.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, a lot of rookies don't have a good rookie season.
Right.
But he's going to get clowned on for it. They're like, oh, we thought you were Josh Allen. Well, I mean, Josh Allen wasn't very good.
Nah.
His first year.
He wasn't good those first couple years.
Yeah, no, those
he?
First couple years were rough, right?
They were bad.
So, like, let's keep the same energy, right? If you're going to do that, like, you can't count the guy out, like, after, like, 5 games, you know?
So you're under the pressure. You think he will turn out in the NFL?
I think he'll turn out to be good.
A mid-level quarterback, like a starter quarterback?
I think he'll be a starter. Probably if you had to rank the top 32, he might end up in like that 15 to 25 range.
Right. I'm not high on Levis. I heard Mel Kiper the other day. He was doing, you know, as draft boards, obviously. This guy said, and we might have went over there. This guy said, just throw out the tape. Just completely throw out the tape, forget what he did this year. And I'm just like, this guy's getting paid millions of dollars to talk football. Like, what do you mean just throw out the tape? Like, how do you just, like, just say what he did on the football field this past season doesn't matter because he, quote-unquote, didn't have the weapons, or he was, quote-unquote, injured? The injury thing is, like, if you're out there playing, like, you're putting your film on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're putting that on tape. So, I don't know. I think he's a little overrated, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, and like that's a fair assessment. Yeah. I don't think it's not like he played at like some juggernaut program, right? You didn't get a great look at him, but he also plays against really stiff competition. So, I mean, in the SEC, I mean, when you're having to play some of those teams, that is rough, especially whenever you play for a team that's not able to get as good of recruits as, let's say, an Alabama or a Georgia, right? You're playing with the guys that got recruited to Kentucky, which that's not a knock on Kentucky as a football program, but like, that's just the way that it works, especially in the NIL money age.
Yeah, the NIL has definitely changed. Like, if they were doing decent in recruiting, now they're like, they're not at all. But, you know, he was at Penn State. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And he got benched over Levis. Not Levis, obviously.
Sean Clifford,
which Sean Clifford is.
Speaking of overrated, okay?
Sean Clifford
is overrated, in my opinion. Also, I feel like he's played at Penn State for, like, the last decade.
Dude, if they had, like, a decent quarterback, they've probably had a couple teams that, like, had playoff rosters. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've had really good teams. But anyways, through that long rabbit trail, let's kind of swindle our way back to the Alabama Pro Day. I think you said it best. I don't think I learned anything new from Bryce Young. Bryce Young was the number one guy out of high school. You know, like I said, proven commodity coming out of modern day. Comes in, sits a year behind Mac Jones. Bama wins the championship that year. Comes in next year, smooth transition. You know, he throws 47 touchdowns his first year, only 7 INTs. He wins the highs. He wins, you know, he sweeps the awards, wins every single award in the nation. Comes back the next year. Statistically, he took a big dip. He missed two games. Well, from his first year, he started 15 games. And this past season, he started 11. Because he would have missed the SEC, the playoff, and the championship, and then he missed the A&M game.
Yeah.
So, you know, would you agree he was a lot better this year?
I think.
Like, a lot better.
I think all around playing,
yeah,
he was better.
Right. And, you know, obviously his stats took a dip because, you know, if you miss four games more – yeah, I think you're going to, you know, your stats are probably going
to
take a dip.
Well, I don't even think it has to do – I mean, part of it will be the games, but then part of it's also the team that's constructed around. I mean, think about, like, the difference in, like, receiving core, right?
Jamison Williams and Manchie.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, there's a huge difference there. And, like, that is going to contribute to it, but he made the most of it, and I think that's what matters.
Yeah, just real quick on, you know, on his pro day, do you think – this pro day was good enough to put him over the top? Because it's him and Stroud at this point. I think the AR-15 stuff has kind of died down. I think Levis – no one's had Levis predicted first pick for a while now, you know.
Was Levis ever predicted as a first pick?
I don't think he ever actually was a true – I feel like, though, there was at one point where he was, like, you know, in the running.
That might have been some Mel Kiper propaganda.
That might have been some throw the film out Mel Kiper propaganda, yeah.
You know, and it's really going to have to just come down to what do the Panthers want to do? I don't know. I think both Stroud and Bryce are proven commodities. Both have pros and cons.
Right.
Right.
What are Bryce's football? What, I mean, I guess size. What is it besides size, though?
Cons?
There's not that many besides size.
I think,
dude,
the main con is his size.
That's really it. That's really – I mean, he's got some – you know, obviously he's not a perfect player, but I think Stroud has more cons than Bryce.
I would think so too, but, like, some teams are going to look at the size thing and be like, that's going to be a no for me. So it just comes down to what do the Panthers want to do with that first overall pick, and I think the Texans would be more than happy to sit put and receive Bryce at number two. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean – we talked about in our group chat about the Panthers have had just a stellar offseason. So, you know, whoever they get with Bryce or Stroud, I think is going to be coming into a better position than a lot of people maybe, you know, thought they would be coming into with Thielen and who was the running back they picked up?
Sanders.
Miles Sanders out of the Eagles. I think Bryce, I think he'll end up going one. I'm teetering. It's like 50-50. He's either one or two, don't you think?
I mean, well – if they're not one and two, if Stroud and Bryce are not one and two, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I would actually be shocked.
And then that, you know, I guess will take us to our next player with the Cardinals at that three pick. What do you think of Will Anderson?
Again, proven commodity. We know what he can do, okay? He is a game wrecker in his own way.
He's the best player in this draft. Who do you think is the best player in this draft? Just football player.
Just football player?
And it can be one of the quarterbacks, but still.
I mean, if I'm considering everything, like intangibles, leadership and everything, although I do really like Will, and he's a very close second, I do think that Bryce is probably my number one. The only con is his size. That, in my opinion, that is the only real big knock on him.
I mean, if he was Stroud size, this wouldn't even be a, you know.
People would be calling him one of the best prospects.
Ever.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't be a fan. This would be nothing, you know. So I tend to think it's Will Anderson. If you look at what he did that his sophomore season after that A&M game especially, he came out after the A&M game and was like, you know, all locked in, like, hey, we need football to be the most important thing here, and this is Alabama football. The next game, he had 5 sacks against Mississippi State. He had 4 sacks in the first half, and then he added another sack in the second half. He finished that season with, 32.5 tackles for loss?
Something like that.
And 17.5 sacks. That was like
unfathomable.
Yeah, dude. 32.5 tackles for loss is crazy. And then he tops it off this year. And I said this before the season, which I don't think is like, you know, a notch under my belt for a good prediction, that his stats would take a big dip. Like, I thought that was pretty fairly obvious, strictly because teams were going to defend him at a different level.
Oh, for sure. And it's hard. You can't just keep getting – like, there's a certain point where, like, you can't improve on that. I mean, it's hard to get more than, 32.5 tackles for a lot. Like,
yeah.
That's already crazy as is. To think that he could even top that
– is crazy. Because
that's crazier.
That's crazy. Dude, I swear, look, I told people during the season, I don't know if you heard any of this, like, he caught, like, a lot of, like, flack during the season as far as, like, people were like, man, like, what happened to Will Anderson? He's not as good as he was last year. I'm like, dude, this guy's still leading the league in sacks and tackles for loss. And, like, you're, like, trying to make a case against him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's kind of like the argument that a lot of people put on TJ Watt this past season. They're like, oh, well, he was defensive player of the year the previous year. Like, he stinks now. He doesn't even have, they're going to, like, they're double-teaming him every play. Like, what do you want the man to do, you know?
Will Anderson's getting double-teamed. Dude, he got triple-teamed some of those games. So it's like, what do you want him to do? He's not going to come back and do the same exact thing if he's getting double-teamed more times than he was last year. So he still won the Nagurski Award, which is, you know, basically the Heisman of defensive players. He won that back-to-back years. He's one of 3 players to win that.
Yeah.
He's probably the best defender in
Again,
the Saban era.
Proven commodity.
Yeah. I mean, had it not been a – quarterback's always more than likely going to be the first pick unless a team like the Bears have the first pick. But, you know, 9 times out of 10 with that situation, they're going to trade that pick too.
But I also
they need a tackle.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also kind of how the chips fall with who's in the draft, right? I mean, you look at last draft, right? Your first quarterback off the board is Kenny Pickett, right, at 20. Everyone else is the third rounder later, right? There's a difference in having that crop of quarterbacks compared to
this year.
Stroud, Young – you know, like, obviously, there is a discrepancy.
Right.
As much as a Kenny Pickett truther that I am.
I think those 4 guys are, like, prospect-wise, you know, like, if he was in this year's draft, don't you think he'd be the 5th guy?
You know, and this is my rare occurrence where I will agree with Mel Kiper. Yeah, I do think he's the 5th, but ironically, I don't think he lasts until 20 this draft again.
Really?
No.
I think he goes higher, but still
he
the
goes,
fifth
he'll,
guy.
He'll be
higher.
The 5th one,
right?
But he's going to go higher than 20. So for people like just like ripping on the Steelers for like making that pick, they got their guy. They knew who they wanted. They went and got him. That's it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. He had a really good season too. I could see him being a decade plus starter. Don't you think?
I'm manifesting that, you know. I may be wearing the Kenny Pickett jersey right now.
You could be wearing the Kenny Pickett jersey behind the scenes right now. Him and Jared Wayne and all these other Pittsburgh guys, the kicker that – what's the kicker's name you said that was going to be, like, one of the best D-tackles ever? I'm just playing. side note, Michigan State and K-State, just they're tied. It's 82 up, and they're going to overtime. This is the first overtime game of the tournament. You notice the tournament games don't really usually ever go to overtime. So
they're just usually close.
Yeah.
Hey, but like we said, live updates.
Live updates.
Only here at the student section.
Best podcast in the nation. Would you agree?
You know what? I would agree.
Yeah. Moving on to some of the other players. I mean, I think that, you know, Bryce and – I think most of our guys are proven commodities, but Bryce, Young, and Will Anderson are the top two prospects in this NFL draft. And I don't think – I don't know. A lot of people would throw – I'd say Jalen Carter's up there, just prospect. But I like Bijan Robinson and Stroud. I think they probably round out the top five. But I think Will Anderson and Bryce Young, one or two.
I'll agree, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Brian Branch, another guy who's probably going to be, you know, possibly top 15, maybe. He's top 20 for sure.
Oh, for sure. I think it's going to depend on how the chips fall.
Yeah. What do you think of him just as a player?
I think he's a great player. I think he's got great instincts. I think that he plays – I think he is a bit of a Swiss Army knife. He can play, like, in a lot of different places, you know, doesn't miss a beat. You know, and he is kind of – he is a guy that I would personally like to have on my football team, you know?
He would be a good addition to your team.
Well, considering the fact that – and we'll get into this.
Are you talking about – are you referring to the Steelers?
I'm referring to the Steelers right now.
Dude, I just don't think him and Minka make sense.
Well, we'll get into this a little bit in the next segment, but just learned today that Terrell Edmonds will not be returning. So
is he not?
Steelers do like to run a three safety package. Yeah. I'm just saying Minka, Kazee, and Branch would be a
crazy
deadly combo.
That would be what pick are they? 17. Is he somebody they're interested in? Like,
I'm pretty sure if they're going to go safety, they're going to go.
Oh, well, yeah. If they go the safety
well,
route,
I think,
sure.
Again, well, so, like, if they're looking at – well, they're going to probably – they're looking at defensive back for sure.
Right.
Right. So, they have a cornerback deficiency. Again, we'll get into this next segment. Right. But, like, let's say that Joey Porter Jr. is gone. Witherspoon's gone, right?
I think all those guys.
Gonzalez is gone, right? And then I don't want them to reach – on a cornerback that probably would last until the second round, because they do have the first pick of the second round. So they've, like, the Steelers historically have reached on cornerbacks in the draft. It has turned out poorly, i.e. Artie Burns.
Right.
Okay, so
not a great decision.
If I would honestly rather them just go, yeah, let's go best player available. I'm taking Brian Branch.
That's one of those things, like, this could, you know, I could be seeing through crimson colored glasses. I think Brian Branch is a more safe pick than the cornerbacks. Like, those cornerbacks could pop and have, like, a better career than him, but, like, I think Brian Branch is like he's gonna have, like, his floor is pretty high.
I'm gonna agree with you on that.
Like,
one.
I think he's going to be good in the league.
I think I'll level with you on that. I'll agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's gonna be a good player. Like, he could be, you know, multi-time All-Pro. The side note about the cornerbacks that I texted you earlier about Christian Gonzalez being a top three pick.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy.
The last guy who was top three pick was Okuda, which Okuda hasn't turned out at the Lions, but I thought prospect wise, Okuda was a great prospect. Like,
I mean, he's
kind of amazing.
As of late, he's been a little bit better.
And he'll be going into his fourth year, and he's still on the Lions, is he not?
He is.
So I think he's, you know, still got make or break year here.
Make or break year, especially, and we will get into this next segment, with the additions they just made to their cornerback room.
Yeah, they got a good team. Dude, and is NFC Championship out of the mark? I don't know. We'll get to that. Last player we kind of want to talk about before we head to our last break is Jahmyr Gibbs. What do you think of him and, you know, where he goes in the draft? Do you think he sneaks in the first round? Because those other three guys we named with Will and Bryce probably are going in the first – at the lowest five picks, probably the first three. And then I think Brian Branch finds his way somewhere into the top 20.
It's going to depend on how much teams value running back, and it's going to depend on where Bijan Robinson goes.
I don't think that – okay, so there's 31 first-round picks, usually 32. I think football player that Jahmyr Gibbs is probably, like, you could argue, one of the best 15. There's not an argument that he's not one of the best 32.
Oh, yeah. No one's arguing that.
There's not, yeah. So, but I don't think that he will find his way into the first round, because I don't think Bijan Robinson – I think Bijan Robinson goes into the 20s. Like, I don't think that, you know, I mean, if you just look at the teams, like, you don't have to draft guys that early, like, to have a big impact as far as, like, a first-round running back. You know what I'm, like, I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl, Pacheco was a seventh-round running back. Miles Sanders was, like, what, a fourth or fifth-round running back? He might have been a little higher than that.
Might have been third.
He wasn't a first-round running back. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I just feel like you can get a running back. The Eagles just signed three running backs whose total salary didn't combine to what Miles Sanders' new salary is. So I just feel like running backs are probably the easiest player in football to replace. But Bijan Robinson is like a crazy prospect, so I think he'll find his first round. But I don't think Gibbs gets there.
I don't think Gibbs gets there either, because I'll agree with you again. I don't think Bijan. I think Bijan goes probably mid-late 20s.
Yeah, I don't think he goes higher than that. Maybe the like late teens, maybe, but
nah, it's really gonna depend. I mean, if I remember, I think a team that might be in play for it could be like the Chargers, which I think are a team in the teens, but. Yeah, that's going to depend on the Austin Eckler
situation.
Yeah.
He's probably – do you think he resigns? I think he will.
Inevitably.
Yeah. So, with that, we're going to take it to break. When we come back, we're going to finish it up by talking a little NFL free agency and give our thoughts on some of the new acquisitions in that free agency. So, we'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Student section coming back for one last segment. Me and Elliot here to talk a little NFL. sorry. Elliot's a prankster, guys.
I didn't do anything, guys. I just want to make it very clear. I did absolutely nothing.
Well, let's just like dive right into it. Let's, you know, who are the biggest pickups in free agency, in your opinion?
Well, I'll start with a couple of the teams that I think made a really big impact on their team. And we kind of touched on this in the last segment, but we mentioned both of them, the Panthers and the Lions.
Yeah, the Panthers picked up – who all did they pick up?
So, I got the list right here. I got to scroll through all these teams. I'm so sorry, guys.
You're good.
So many people on the move. So, on the offensive side of the ball, the Red Rifle, okay, which is a good mentor, I think, to have. He's been around the league.
Right.
You know, great college player. And, you know, so whoever they draft – right, obviously they'll probably be the day one starter, but to have a veteran backup like that is always a useful pick. Pick his brain, right?
You're referring to Andy?
Andy Dalton.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Hayden Hurst, who is a good weapon to have. That's on the tight end side. It is a good pickup. Miles Sanders, incredible running back.
Yeah.
Right? Adam Thielen, Pro Bowl receiver.
You had three starters, three vets to your team for, you know, obviously he's going to be a young quarterback. You know, wide out, tight end, and running back. That's pretty good for the quarterback, you know, whoever comes in. That's really good. Keep going, though.
Yeah, and so – and then also, they made good additions on the defensive side. You know, Von Bell, right?
Coming from Cincy. Yeah.
Also, like, Cincy. I don't know who's in your secondary, man. Like,
dude, they lost –
everyone.
And what was it? Gate? What's the other guy's name?
Jesse Bates.
Jesse Bates. I said Gates. He's good too. He's probably better than Bell, is he not?
He is.
He's really good.
I think Bates might have been the Bell was the strong safety,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's bigger than him, right?
I think so.
Or he's much stronger, I think. Like, from Bates is really like savvy.
Anyway, as a Steelers fan, I'm happy that Bell and Bates are gone from the division.
Yeah, because that was a top duo. Where did Bates end up going?
Falcons. That's probably about the only notable thing you'll hear about the Falcons on this show today.
I don't think that for – I mean, I'm sure his contract, you know.
He was just getting the bag. I respect it.
He was getting the bag.
I respect it. But yeah,
winning goes out of the window.
But yeah, so the Panthers made great additions, especially on the offense side of the ball. Not as much on the defense side, but still good pickups that I think will improve their team as a whole.
Right.
And I think that, especially with whatever quarterback they draft, whether that be Young or Stroud, which I'm assuming it's going to be one of those two.
I would be shocked if it's anyone else. At this point, it's going to be one of those.
Oh, for sure.
Guys. Yeah.
But I honestly, like, I think that they're in a position, they win the NFC South.
I think so, too.
Pretty easily.
Yeah. Because who else in the NFC South?
There's Falcons, I mean, we got the Baker Mayfield-led Buccaneers now.
Yeah. And the Falcons and the Saints. Is that right?
Yeah. And then you got the Falcons, which...
Desmond Ridder? Taylor Heineke? Not really, you know, a great option between either. Heineke's not bad, but I don't think, you know...
I'm a little confused by the moves on that side.
And then the Saints, they re-signed Jameis Winston. Do you think he ends up starting? Who's the Saints? The Saints?
It's going to be Derek Carr.
Oh, I apologize. The Saints could actually win the – they could win it.
Could. I just want to point out that the Saints beat the Raiders' Derek Carr team like 24-0, and Derek Carr could not make it past midfield
right
in that game. So I'm not really sure. what into the decision-making on that front.
No. I think Derek Carr is good, though. If you look at – I think they said since he's came in, he's got the most game-winning drives, which I thought sounded – wrong. Does that sound right?
Like, there's no way that's right.
I don't think so either. But yeah, that was like a stat that I seen not too long ago. Like, it was from a, can't recall, maybe ESPN. It was somebody like big though, like a high source. And I was like, wow, that seems very off. But he's never really had a good defense either with the Raiders.
This is Derek Carr's chance to prove himself.
Yeah.
If he cannot beat out the Panthers in the NFC South with their rookie quarterback, I'm assuming the rookie quarterback's going to start and not Andy Dalton.
No, yeah, okay? No shot.
Andy Dalton, if you're listening to this, I send you all my love, okay? Right. But
you've had your time, buddy.
Yeah. Father Time's catching up, big dog. All right, so like, let's just move on to the new guy. Okay,
yeah, I agree. They have a good chance, especially with some of the team, like the players they picked up and the coaches and the they got a new coaching staff. So, I think their team's gonna get a big rejuvenation. Whoever that rookie, I really hope it's Bryce because I think whoever
gets there is in the better situation compared to Houston. Oh.
No doubt.
Who is even in Houston's receiving room? They just traded away Cooks.
Yeah. That's Mechie. John Mechie would be good for Bryce, but I mean, I don't know. I will say though, they played very competitive towards the end of the season. They almost beat the Cowboys and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks. And I think, you know, Stroud or Bryce probably would have won that game had they been in that position.
Yeah, they got those intangibles.
I can't recall the quarterback's name. Davis Mills, has he been traded or
no? He's just
Davis Mills.
He's just there.
He's just like bound to be a backup for the rest of his career. Moving on from those teams, you mentioned the Lions.
I did mention the Lions.
The Lions. This is a hot take. The Lions could find themselves in the NFC Championship game.
I think the Lions win the NFC North soundly, and I don't think it's close.
Who's all in the NFC North?
Packers, Vikings, and the Bears.
Yeah, I think they won that division.
The defensive additions, which was basically almost everything,
right,
is insane.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate losing Cam Sutton.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't think he's worth a three-year, $33 million contract. I think that's a little bit of an overpay.
Yeah.
He's not a bona fide cornerback one. If anyone's a Lions fan and you're listening to this, he is a very solid cornerback too. Makes some great athletic plays. But
which for them he will be cornerback too.
Yeah, because they got that CJ Gardner Johnson.
He's decent at football.
He's pretty decent at football.
All right.
He's like all right. I mean, like nothing special, right?
I thought that the Eagles, this offseason for the Eagles has been really
bad.
Bad.
It's okay. We don't have to sugarcoat it.
We don't have to. I was gonna say intriguing.
No, what's intriguing is the Bears.
The Bears are intriguing. This offseason from the Eagles has been really bad. Like, their defense next year is gonna be a whole like new defense.
Well, you lose Hargrave, you lose Gardner Johnson. I don't know what's going on with, was it Slay? Because they re-signed Bradbury, but then they released Slay, and then they said they're going to re-sign him.
They re-signed him.
They did?
It was weird. They released, but they said that report was false and that he actually was never released. And then they re-signed him that same day. And they keep Hassan Reddick. Who else did they lose? They lost everybody, though, like besides those.
Well, I mean, they lost their big pieces, I think, is the main problem. You lose someone like Hargrave. Steeler legend, by the way.
Right. Did you think he was the worst loss? I thought C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a pretty
C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a very bad loss.
That's a terrible loss.
Well, especially whenever you consider that the Lions signed him for a one-year, $6.5 million contract.
Yeah, like...
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, for his production last season?
I'm surprised that they opted to re-sign Bradbury
over
Gardner-Johnson...
I agree. And I think Bradbury's good, but...
Bradbury's good, but I think he might have been the weakest link in the secondary. I thought it was a little bit of a strange situation to give him the big contract out of everyone.
I agree. I one thing I will say that they did pretty well, they restocked their running back room. I thought amazing. That was easily like their best move. because they lost Miles Sanders, who signed a one-year $6.2 million contract. And then who did they sign? They have three running backs now. I want to say Boston Scott's one of them they re-signed. And then
– Scott, Rashad Penny.
And there's one more guy, though.
Well, he's not listed on here.
Okay, I can't recall who it is. Anyway, they got three guys that are, like, really good running backs, and they got, like, a contract, like, I think it was $5.5 million in total.
That's about right.
Yeah, so still not the best offseason. Who's else offseason before we end it were you really impressed with?
I'm gonna sound like I'm just riding with the home team here. I'm actually impressed with what the Steelers have done this offseason.
Really?
I am. And it may not be flashy, but they've done what they needed to do to improve.
Right.
Right? New regime, new GM. He's not messing around.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, you lose Cam Sutton, but he came right back around and signed Patrick Peterson. You may say he's old, but the dude still has it,
right,
as of right now. Okay, now that may change like week two of the season. I may say, okay, yeah, maybe not. But
Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. Pat Pete.
2015 well, All-Pro.
Yeah, love you, brother. Anyway, they are – Omar Khan is building the picket fence, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I love it, okay? This is also who the Eagles lost. Isaac Sumalo, I hope I'm saying that properly.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry if that's wrong.
You are. Sumalo.
But he only gave up one sack last season.
Yeah.
Okay. Instant plug and play. Great. Okay. They have a great backup in Nate Herbig. Okay.
Right.
Great run blocker. Okay. Which is something that Steelers want to get back to running the football, right?
Yeah.
That's good for them. And then they also completely got rid of their inside linebacker room.
Right.
Okay. Miles Jack's gone. Devin Bush is gone. Robert Spillane is gone. Okay. In comes Cole Holcomb, Alandon Roberts. Nothing special there, but for an inside linebacker group that created zero sacks, zero interceptions, and zero forced fumbles to get rid of them and input guys that have done stuff for their respective teams, I think that that's a good move just to say you weren't getting the job done. It's time to move on.
No, I agree. I think they had a fantastic offseason. I think they will improve and possibly – I think they might make the playoffs next year. They might.
We're making the playoffs. Okay. We're winning the North.
Okay. Before we go, you got any last thoughts? Anything you want to say?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Bears.
About the Bears?
Let's talk about the Bears real quick to wrap it up.
Well, give us your thoughts on them.
I just think it's interesting. I just don't get it.
You don't?
I just don't get it.
Why not?
Because to trade the number one pick like that. Okay, so you get DJ Moore. So what was the point of the Claypool trade, right?
Fair.
Because now you're going to have two guys that are up for a contract extension. Who's the odd man out now? Well, obviously, it's going to be Claypool. So you gave up the 32nd pick for what? A guy who got 14 catches for like 100 or so yards? Like, I don't understand that. And then you also, right out of the gate in free agency, you give massive contracts to two inside linebackers in Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards.
Very weird offseason.
Very large contracts, too. Let's point this out. 4 years, $72 million for Tremaine Edmonds, which I thought was...
That's crazy.
That's a crazy overpay. But
that's a lot. I don't know. I feel like a lot of players this offseason have been either really underpaid or really, like, overpaid.
Gardner Johnson, way underpaid.
Yeah.
Tremaine Edmonds, man, what?
He's really good, but...
He's good, but 4 years, $72 million, man?
Yeah, I think.
I don't know what they're cooking over in Chicago, but.
Yeah, very weird. Very, very weird. Before we let us go, I'm going to give my last thoughts on another. I think Bama wins, I'm going to say, by seven.
Oh.
Bama wins by seven.
Okay, they win by seven.
Any last thoughts on anything? Can be anything.
Yeah, last thoughts. Lions-Steelers Super Bowl 2024. You heard it here.
Whoa, hot take. All right, that's going to do it for Student Section. We'll see y'all next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.